Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Pirates this week for various reasons. I would say not all of them the most positive and happy, necessarily. You had a couple things. I think the thing I actually liked the most was Quinn Priester. I don't know about you. I watched him get a 2-0 lead after that Reynolds home run. Immediately give both of those runs back. And I don't know. I was alone in this, but he's coming off his rehab assignment. It's in that ballpark against that team that always seems to turn into the 27 Yankees against them. And I thought, here we go, same old Priester. Instead, dude, he started shoving big time. After that, you got all the way through to what, the seventh inning with him. He shuts the door, shuts him out the rest of the way in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. Career high in strikeouts. He whiffed 8. He even got squeezed in an inning. I don't know if you saw it. There was an inning where somebody reached base on him. I think it was his last inning, actually. Should have been strike 3. I think it was Hoskins got on base right after that with a single. He just started striking dudes out. That was very fun to see. And necessary. If you're like a person that's still hoping this team, despite Jared Jones's injury and Bailey Falter's injury, can hang in there, seeing Priester and seeing Luis Ortiz recently, I think ball out has been a very nice welcome sight.
We talked about their little formula yesterday because we knew it was going to be an opener. We knew Fleming was going to get the ball first. And we even said, if he can give you one or two innings, I know he was a bit erratic in that only inning he threw because Fleming had 3 walks. We said if you can have Priester go 5 or 6 innings, then they're going to be in a really good spot, and he did that.
He was encouraging, and then here's the other thing. 38 runs in their last 5 games. I know that that's 2 massive blowouts, and they're, you know, hitting against a position player at one point, although he went 1-2-3 for the Brewers. Or not 1-2-3. He got scoreless inning. 14, 2 bad ones, 8 and 12. Like, don't look now. Tellez has continued to ball out. He has to be now, I think, over a 700 OPS. I can check it right now. A guy whose OPS was almost under 450 on June 1st, Rowdy Tellez, an OPS of 698. Okay. 698, this guy. He is right on the precipice of being basically your kind of MLB average offensive player. He's been way better than that for the last 6 weeks. And you even saw, I think, in this game, if you're trying to just grasp at anything to hold on to and hope for, Donnie, you saw Jack Sawinski in a huge spot before that Bart Grand Slam get 2 strikes on him. I think he got down either 0-2 or 1-2. And deliver, I think, a really good approach and then get a single to keep the inning going. Bartz was a granny with 2 strikes, but he hasn't been somebody you've been worried about. The guy's been, like, really good when he's actually been in the lineup. You start to squint here, and just bear with me. You start to squint. Gonzalez has continued to hit by and large. Kind of got a good luck, little bad hop play that helped them out last night. Reynolds looks like he's finally exercising those July demons where he usually hits like Babe Ruth in June and then hits like Baby Ruth in July. Man, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to have a team here that looks like an offensive force, but you're starting to see what it could look like if 2 or 3 of the guys that haven't hit all year start to hit. And they look like a team that can absolutely stay in the race if that happens. And this was all, by the way, without O'Neill Cruz last night, who I guess has hamstring issues and is day-to-day and is also, in his own way, heating up.
Also, going back to Les, the OPS plus, which league average is 100.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how low it was early in the year. It was in like the 40s.
Yeah.
And now he's at 98.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I was going by that number. He's basically right at league average. And that one yesterday, it's not lost on me that he hit it off of a lefty. I mean, I do think you have to take it with a grain of salt sometimes when a team gets, probably when that game got to 8-2 and the Brewers didn't do anything to push back at all. I think there's a little bit of a tacit acknowledgement, okay, better on, you know, just pack it up and get ready for tomorrow. And their pitchers are just trying to throw strikes to get the game over with. But still takes one off of a lefty and absolutely destroys it. I mean, he's locked in, man, right now. He's very locked in. That was his 100th career homer, that one yesterday, in a park that he had probably the best success of his career. I'm loath to do this, and I'm not going to do this because it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, and I don't want to be the guy who jumps to any conclusions and gets back on that sort of merry-go-round of extreme optimism followed by extreme pessimism, but it's kind of a don't look now, but this team is 3-2 in their last 5, 4-3 in their last 7. They have a chance to actually win 3 in a row here. And I'll always point to this, for as frustrating as that Cardinals series was, you have a chance now to make up that double ground on the team in the division that's leading. And this is, I think, the best part about what they did last night. That's the bullpen game. That's probably the game you expect to lose, right? Is that fair? Because you have no idea what Priester's going to give you. That place is a house of horrors. Even if they don't win tonight, guess who's looming tomorrow? 2-10. If I'm a Brewers fan, I feel like I've got to win this game or else there's a chance I'm getting swept. And the Brewers, by the way, have not been so good lately. Have you checked on their last 5? They're 1-4. They got beat up by the Dodgers. They lost the last game of the Rockies series. They lose this one. You might have a chance to take advantage of a team that's going through a little bit of a swoon.
Yeah, 4-6 in their last 10. I mean, if the Pirates pull off the win tonight, I'm feeling really good. Because the last thing I do want to see is a satisfying win in game one, a loss by, you know, however it would happen tonight, because Perez got beat up the last time he was in Milwaukee, if you remember that
yep.
5-inning, 9-run game.
Yep.
And then tomorrow, the offense just goes quiet and they lose the game like 2-1. Skeens pitches a great game, but the Pirates can't score any runs. And then you come away from the series thinking, man, we kicked their ass in game one and we come away with one win. Like, that would be a terrible feeling, I think, in that clubhouse. So that's where I'm not going to say tonight is pivotal or anything like that, but it would have me feeling really good going into tomorrow, potential sweep on the road, a place where you don't play well, and a guy who has quickly become one of the most feared players in the entire league is on the mound for you.
Yeah, they got the bad man here, which is, I've said this so many times, you have to win the Skeens games and you have to win the Keller games right now. And when Jones is healthy, you have to win those. But man, it just feels like really that maybe the more important distinction here is you've got to find a way to have more games like yesterday. I don't expect 12 runs. I don't expect an outburst. But man, find a way when you don't have one of your aces on the mound to get 4 or 5 runs. Here's the other thing. Say you win tonight. Just again, I'm laying this out here, admittedly, a little pie in the sky. Say you win tonight, you're going to be favored to win tomorrow. You're going to be, because tomorrow you feel like if you get 4 runs, you almost certainly are going to win that game, because you almost want to pencil Skeens in for 6 or 7 innings, 1 or 2 runs at most given up. Say you win tonight, feel very good about your chances to get a sweep. You finally have won 3 in a row. That is called a winning streak. Manager Lou Brown, they've happened before. And then you've got a very bad baseball team to head into the All-Star break. It's not inconceivable that this team could go into the All-Star break on like a 5-1 little run here. And then I think if you go into the All-Star break having that kind of last 6, or last 7 actually, if you want to count that last game of the Mets series, you've eradicated most of the bad feelings from that homestand. You've played well against the division leader. You've beat up on a bad team. I think if they go in and play 5-1 ball these 6 games, Donnie, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they'd end up as a 500 team. Then you're starting, and I know we've had a lot of discussion in the last 24 hours or so about their front office, and is one hand talking to the other correctly? Like, is everyone on the same page there? I think that crystallizes and clarifies what you've got to start doing. because there's no doubt it's going to bring you a little closer in the wild card race. And then I think that the pressure mounts to add a bat to this equation, even with Jones being out for as long as they seem to think he might be.
Yeah, it definitely does. I also would, for some reasons, not like that they're going into the All-Star break, because let's say they do have their hottest stretch since the first week or so of the season.
Which this would be, by the way.
Yeah, because we know the record is out there now of what they've done with three-game win streaks and losing streaks. I almost wouldn't want them to hit a break, because let's say they have a 5-1 stretch here. I would want them to keep playing, because who knows, they come out that second half and they get the monster of the National League this year. They're going to play the Phillies in a ballpark that, yeah, they're at home, but they're going to have a lot of Phillies fans in that building.
Mm-hmm.
They always do. Like, that's a dangerous series to start the second half.
They've got a meat grinder, to your point. They not only have Philly, a team that is just, I watched them just pace the Dodgers yesterday and before that Pirates game came on. I don't know if you saw that, but they just laid waste to L.A. L.A. might be a little cooked at this point, at least compared to Philly. Philly looks, maybe, L.A.'s not cooked. Philly's just that good. Three with Philly, three at home with St. Louis. You get another shot at redemption. Three on the road in Arizona. Three on the road in Houston. I don't know if you've paid attention to Houston at all lately, but they're starting to claw their way back into the race. As a matter of fact, they've gotten all the way up to 47-44. That team was low watermark early in the season. They were 7-18, Donnie. I think at one point they even got to 12-24. So do the math on that one. They've lost 20 games and they've won like 35 since then. They are one of the best teams in baseball, basically, over the last 2.5 months. You've got to bank wins here just because you know it's going to be tough sledding, I think, after the All-Star break.